Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maryland sports fans, there's only one sports book in the great state of Maryland with over 50 years experience booking bets and supporting customers. Betfred Sportsbook at Longshots is now open and is the only sports book in Frederick offering cash betting on football, basketball, world soccer, and more. Visit the Betfred Sportsbook at I-270 and MD-85 in Frederick, right next to Longshots off-track betting. Go to BetfredSports.com for more information and your chance to win exclusive merchandise. Must be 21 or older. Play responsibly. For help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Kick out the jams, motherfuckers. This is Wayne Kramer from the MC5, and you're listening to Rock and Roll Archaeology.
Pantheon Podcast presents Deeper Digs in Rock, part of the Rock and Roll Archaeology Project. Music, culture, technology, and rock and roll. Now, on with the show.
And I don't want to hold her down, don't want to break her crown when she says, "Let's go, diggers." Hello, hooray, it's another edition of Deeper Digs in Rock, and I am your humble host, Christian Swain, the rock and roll archaeologist. Okay, quick bit of business. Got another new show for you to check out. It's called I'm in Love with That Song, and it is hosted by Brad Page. Each episode of I'm in Love with That Song podcast takes one of Brad's favorite songs and dives deep into listening to all the nuances that make it a great song. You may be unfamiliar with some of these songs, while others you probably heard them a million times. But I bet if everyone listens closely, everyone can discover something new. Of course, there's no definitive answer to what makes a great song. Beauty's in the ear of the beholder, as Brad likes to say. These are just some of his personal favorites, but he hopes you love these songs too. And I think after listening and discovering a few new things on the secret sauces used in making these tracks, it might make you a believer as well. Brad Page is a musician and has been playing for over 40 years, and he considers rock and roll his religion, don't we all? Not a bad club if you have to join only one, I'm sold. I'd sit in that pew, put it that way. Okay, he's been devouring music since before he picked up a guitar and considers himself a fan first. Like a lot of us, he's got thousands of CDs and albums, a library of books on rock music, and a collection of music-related DVDs, and he has over 20 guitars, so he's quite an aficionado when it comes to the six-string. And once he discovered there was such a thing as rock and roll podcasts, who knew, he became an avid listener. After a year or two of listening to many of these great podcasts, he decided to start his own. So here we are. Go check out I'm in Love with That Song, yes, named after Alex Chilton by The Replacements, on the Pantheon Podcast Network. One other quick bit is a shout out to new Patreon member Joe Orachowski. He is our hero this week, coming in with a $5 pledge. Big, huge thank you, Joe, from everyone at Pantheon Podcasts. You have helped to keep the lights on and the presses running. Well, actually, covering some electronic expenses like storage costs, things like that. But hey, because of that, we keep getting more and more listeners for our shows. We really thank you. A great problem to have, but regardless, a problem nonetheless, right? So let's hear it for Joe Orachowski, everyone. You too can help us here at Pantheon by heading over to our Patreon page and becoming a rock and roll patron yourself. It's Patreon. patreon.com/rockandrollpodcast. Okay, that's the news and business, diggers. On to the show. Good one for you today, but you'll have to indulge me and pay close attention here. So last month, I had the extreme pleasure of meeting and interviewing one of the most original rock and roll acts I've seen in ages. The Who, they are called, and they are from the Mongolian Steppes. That's H-U, not W-H-O. So I got to sit down with the four primary players in the band. Gala and Enkosh, who play the traditional Morin Kuur, or horsehead fiddle. Temka, who plays the traditional Tova Shuur, or it's like a lute-like instrument. And Jaya, who plays the jaw harp, flute, and traditional Tusur, which is a fluted instrument as well. And then all but Temka throat sings. So the throat singing, yeah. That is extraordinary. Let me put it this way. I asked them to teach me and attempted a weak imitation until Gala took over. You'll hear the results and try to stay in your seat when that occurs. The tape's pretty wild, but it still pales in comparison to actually hearing it live. Now, the guys don't speak much English, so the interview was conducted with their interpreter, Tuga, who helped put the interview together for us as well. Big shout out to Tuga. So we did this just about an hour before showtime. And I only had a few minutes with the four of them. I actually got to spend more time than at first thought. But given the process of me asking a question, Tuga making the translation, the answer back, and then Tuga giving me the answer, we've done a fair amount of editing here. In the end, that got us down to about 15 minutes, and you all know how I can go for well over an hour, so it is what it is. But, we had a great time, and I got some good info out of the four main players just before they hit the stage. And then we saw the show, and I'm telling you, it was awesome and wild. Great crowd where the energy was super high in anticipation, and when The Who hit the stage, the crowd just chanted their name. They played for a good 90 minutes and rocked the house. Worth a serious see if you get a chance, if they show up near you. I highly recommend it. One last thing is that they are accompanied by a three-piece standard rock band, drums, bass, guitar, along with a percussionist. So lots of sound and helps create the traditional Mongolian music with a Western rock and roll bent. Like I said at the top, it is something new to be heard and felt. Okay, let's get to it. Ladies and gents, I give you Gala, Temka, Jaya, and Enkosh. The Who.
Shook. Welcome to Deeper Digs in Rock, The Who. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Excited? I think you got this show and one more, and then you go home after a long tour about a month, and then you start it back up again, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, first let me say that hearing a new sound in rock and roll is highly unusual these days. So my first question has to be, is the band the first to incorporate heavy rock elements together with traditional Mongolian musical traditions? And if so, why did it take so long for rock and roll to make it to the steppes?
Dongadina, it's always been just Shin rock. I don't know why it took so long, but for us, it started with our producer Dashka. 9 years ago, he got this idea and started researching and doing some experiments. And for the band, we're in 2016 with our producer Dashka. We started our few songs, and by doing so, we found our own sound.
Yeah. So it just happened that way. Basically, is how it is. It just came when it decided to come. Then. So explain the term Hunu rock to our fans, the diggers.
Hunu rock is the Yugoslav language for the Hunu rock is modern is ancient, and Western is Eastern, and it's this rock has its own tuning and playing style and instruments, which includes Mongolian modern core, Mongolian guitar, tavshir, and tsor and tumarbor, and the most importantly throat singing.
Right,
and
right.
Our traditional instrument music actually has in rock elements in it, and our instruments have been playing it for over thousands of years.
Yeah, so I believe the Moran Kur is a horsehead fiddle, right?
Yes.
And the Tovashur is a Mongolian guitar,
yeah.
Right? And the Tumor Kur is a Jahar, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then it's the throat singing. Okay, yeah. The throat singing's the coolest thing out there.
Yeah.
So can you teach me how to Mongolian throat sing? Can I try?
Yeah.
Oh, do. Okay, that'll take me a little bit to learn. That's awesome. All right, so. While you do have the backing band of electric bass, drums, and electric guitar, like we said, you incorporate these instruments, and each of you plays one of those instruments, right? The horsehead fiddle, the Moran Kur, the Tovashur, the Mongolian guitar, and the Tumor Kur, and then which one's the singer?
Well, in Dutchman Bay.
All four of you. Everybody, yeah. So is it harmonic? Is it you sing harmonies?
Harmony to temu yagiating in a tansia mutter to her. So yeah, it's not exactly a harmony, but for example, like Bala sings like a bit lower throat singing, and I sing in the middle, Iku sing in the high registers, and the Temka is backing vocals. Yeah.
Okay. So all of you do sing. It's not actual harmonies, but you work together to create the sound, and
yeah.
You're kind of the lead singer, right? Right. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the first taste of international success. I think it was about a year ago that The Who burst onto the scene with the video Wolf Totem. Now with over 20 million views on YouTube. Were you guys surprised by the world embracing the Hunu sound?
Okay. Yes, of course, as any other artist, we expect some kind of success, and that's why we worked hard, like, for example, to make our first music video where you traveled over 5,000 kilometers in Western Mongolia off-roads and for filming it for almost 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they were so hard, you know, like there were days we hike up to the mountain with our gears, you know, because there's no road to get there. And we expected some kind of a success because we put into so much work into mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. but the reality exceeded our expectations.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a little surprising, but a great surprise, right? Yeah. Right. All right. So why Wolf Totem is the first song chosen, and can you share with us the story of the lyrics?
Okay. Wolf Totem. Ахничэн тэр дуу бич байх гэсэн юм байх нүд мэд комс
тэ та андуураад гэхшгүй бидний анхны гаргасан дуу бол
actually the first one was
you was the first. Okay.
Yeah, and then we released Wolf Totem.
So okay, so give me an explanation of either you or Wolf Totem as the what the lyrical content is about.
Or Wolf Totem is actually we're inspired by this Mongolian war cry, old war cry, and also it's from actually from a movie 1945 Soktet, which was actually a Mongolian prince lived in the 15th century.
Uh-huh.
And the lyrics says, you know, like the general idea is like you can be anybody, anybody, you know, if you bring a fight to me, I will accept it.
Yeah.
And I will come up as a winner. And the idea is we're not inspiring people to fight each other and stuff. The idea is giving people, you know, power, inner power, you know, like
inside
the,
themselves,
inside, you know, the mm-hmm. wake the inner warrior up and be strong and face the mm-hmm. challenges.
Okay, all right. Now that you have your first full album called Gerig, released back in September, and now a world tour, the name Gerig, I think. It's from the Mongol Empire diplomatic papers.
Is that right?
So this is your calling card to the world to allow you guys to, you know, a passport to the world here. Okay, all right. Now it's not surprising that you guys wrote a song that pays homage to the great Mongolian leader of the 13th century, Genghis Khan. How did that come about? And I mean, that seems to be a tentpole on the album. You guys made a video of the great Genghis Khan. Yeah.
So
is it Genghis Khan?
Yes.
Genghis
Khan.
Perfect.
That's good.
So
that's good. Yeah. Genghis Khan's song. You know, like here. Everybody knows the Genghis Khan, like, but there's
he's a well-known
so many,
figure
yes,
in history.
Yes, so
yes.
Many, but it's the world is sometimes know the only one side of Genghis Khan for as
the
a
conqueror,
like, conqueror,
yes.
Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much to him, and in our country, he's revered as our founding father of the country. And we have a lot of respect for him.
Same here.
So,
much respect. I'm familiar with the Genghis Khan story, and it's amazing. Exactly. Absolutely amazing.
So that's the reason, you know, we made this song. You know, as you asked, Genghis Khan, but it's not Genghis. It's Genghis Khan. We want to tell our story and true story, mm-hmm. and how visionary man he was. You know, how he brought so many inventions to this world.
Mm-hmm.
So you can hear that from
it's a very positive song.
Yeah.
It's not about blood and warfare and things like that. It's about like the creation of the people and the nation, and it's pretty extraordinary story of what he was able to accomplish in his lifetime, the largest empire of all time in a single lifetime. It's pretty extraordinary. So I have to ask you guys, how many of you can ride a horse and shoot a bow and arrow at full speed?
As Mongolians, we can all ride horses, and everybody.
Maybe, right? Yeah.
Everybody can ride, and especially me and Inkush. You know, we grew up in countryside.
You did.
We had more experiences, and I'm pretty sure you know we can we can do that.
Because that is the secret weapon that the Mongol Empire had was the light horse. The ability to shoot it changed history because of that ability out there. Okay, so now according to geneticists, 1 in 200 men on the planet is directly related to Genghis Khan. Are all of you related to him?
Yeah. We're not exactly sure, but somehow we related. Like for me,
I'm related. We're all related. We're all related out there.
So how have audiences been reacting to the live material?
Can you say it again? I'm sorry.
How have audiences been reacting to the live material?
The reactions of the people, the fans, been amazing, and you know, like even before we get on the stage, you know, even though we're the first time here, everybody's doing chanting "who" as if we were like a well-known band, being around so many years, and after the concert, listening as live, you know, I see in light in people's eyes, and they found something, you know, it's, you know. Amazed, you know, like the face expressions, it's just priceless.
Mm-hmm. Any particular shows stand out for you guys over the tour?
Aftershock Festival in Sacramento, and because we were on a small stage in the second band, and when we get on the stage, I couldn't believe how many people there were. It was just thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Even the last song we're playing, and people are still running. And when there you are, like thousands of people just together, just chanting "who," and it was just powerful.
Yeah. So this is the second to the last date in your American tour. What are your guys' thoughts about America?
When we were doing our first tour in Europe, it was just amazing. All sold out, and the reactions were so great. And we were just concerned, you know, like we were coming to the Americas, and we were like, can we do it again in America?
Will they feel the same way as these Europeans?
That was the expectation, you know.
Yeah.
Then when we got here, and it was just the same, you know, everybody, maybe, you know, like, it's just the sold out shows, you know, like, chanting, and after 3 months of, like, that's almost 60 tour shows, you know.
60 dates.
60 days.
In America.
We say, you know, it's nothing short of amazing, and we're so excited to come back years to come.
What did you guys think when your song Black Thunder ended up on the latest Star Wars video game?
When the Star Wars Alpha 2 was in the. We're super happy, you know, like because growing up, you know, like ever since we were born, you know, like Star Wars is a huge thing and playing the game and stuff. Today we're actually in it and. It's a good film.
Do any of you guys play video games?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You get the answer right there.
Oh, that must be really exciting then to hear your song as your hey, what's this? Right. All right, it looks like you guys get a break and head home for a month of rest before heading back to the road in Europe. Will you be doing more recordings during the break?
Yeah. Definitely, you know, we're going back home, but we need to rest, and also we're working on our second album too, and there are so many things going on, you know, was so much things have been planned, and yeah, definitely we'll record.
Yeah, it's an unusual place where you guys are at. You know, it's this first taste of huge international success, and you know, there's just so much to do and not enough time. So you guys need to get as much rest as possible, but we want to hear more Who recordings. Gala, Enkush, Jaya, Temka, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Cheered for the Who. Amazing guys. Gala, Temka, Jaya, and Enkush, and of course our host Tuga. Big thanks. And thank you for giving me that feeling of hearing a new sound for the first time. I think that is what I want to add to the end today, is the lament that what once was a common occurrence, a new sonic palette, some new sound, is rare in rock and roll today, and it's hard. I get it. The world is much smaller than 50 years ago when a band from Liverpool added the sitar to their music and heads literally exploded. You know, we live in a world today where anything and everything is at your fingertips. So discovery is easy from a couch. You know, we're back in the day. You had to go out and find something new, or it found you. What, that was it. Those were the only two choices. You know, I think of Paul Simon in South Africa, or Pete Townsend checking out the Moog booth at the Monterey Pop Festival in 67. But that is incredibly hard today because the world is so small. And that is because music has made such an impact over the last 60 years. It was such a huge part of life that explorers crisscrossed the globe to find something different to make their sonic palettes unique to their competition. Well, the globe has been covered and presented. There are no new undiscovered countries. Or has it? That's what a Who show will do for you. I just wonder if there aren't a few other pockets still waiting to be explored and incorporated into this music. Well, we will see, I guess. All right, next week we are going with another newer music man here. His moniker is Goldroom, but real name is Josh Legg, and he's a hotshot DJ and EDM master. He makes California-inspired chill beats. Los Angeles-based since 2011. The band is a bit of a collective, and the interesting thing is that they do recreate their mostly electronic music live on stage. He also is a wealth of information on the music business of the last decade, where, you know, disruption and changes were abound. We talk a lot about how to make it in the music business. I wasn't sure how this was going to go, but I can tell you the discussion is well worth it, and I became a big fan of his music. So come on back for that one. Okay, one last thing on The Who. Let me take us out with a remixed version of their hit Wolf Totem, and tagging along is Jacoby Shaddix from Papa Roach singing the original lyrics in English. It's a great crossover that proves The Who are getting big-time attention. Okay, until next week, I'm going to go work on my throat singing while you all keep up the rockin'.
Deeper Digs in Rock, produced and hosted by Christian Swain. All sound design and incidental music by Busy Signal Studios. Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.